This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
That song is played at more weddings than any other song. My girl. Temptations, great song. Out of the 60s. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and the guy that makes this program run, really, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, May the 10th, as we roll along in the year. And a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Colin Ritter of Ed Choice about a new K-12 teacher survey showing overwhelming pessimism about the profession and a deep morale crisis going on with teachers. It's kind of bad news. Stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And Israel goes it alone. Despite Biden's decision to withhold arms to Prime Minister Netanyahu, he has launched a series of airstrikes into the strategic city of Rafah. We are going to take a look at the situation. Stay tuned for that. And a powerful and rare geometric storm may occur today in outer space. Have you heard about this? It may wreak havoc here on Earth, especially with your GPS systems and things like that. We're going to tell you all about it. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, this is from U.S. News and World Report, the top 10 best states overall. Overall, in America. And that'll be towards the end of the show. Freedom Works. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, I keep telling you, the best haircut I've ever received, Andrew's Master Barbershop, and I've gone to a lot of places over the years. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Great haircut, great price, great ambiance. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. If you have any kind of a need involving trees, whether it's enhancement of trees, removal of trees, stump grinding, whatever it is, ArborLife is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, this is really getting to be a huge political decision by Joe Biden. A decision to withhold arms to Israel. Israel is going to go ahead. They are continuing missile strikes on the city of Rafah in the Mideast. It is the last stronghold for Hamas in the Gaza Strip. This occurring after ceasefire talks fell apart. Hamas reportedly had demanded a 12-week ceasefire. That was double the 6 weeks that Israel was offering. How is Israel going to finish this war if they don't go in there and take out Hamas? Somebody made an interesting point the other day that I heard. It's like the Allied forces deciding they were not going to enter Germany towards the end of World War II because there were civilians in there that might get hurt. So what were they going to do? Were they going to stop at the border of Berlin and not go in? Of course they went in. They had to. And it was bloody. The Russians went in. The Americans went in. And especially the Russians. And they finished off the Nazi Empire in 1945. So anyway, Palestinians have been warned by Israel to leave Rafah. They have fled the city en masse as this conflict comes to a boiling point. In the meantime, even Democrats are upset with Joe Biden and his decision to withhold arms sales. Florida Congressman Corey Mills preparing an impeachment article against Biden over his threat to halt the sales to Israel. Mills accuses Biden of having Israel, forcing Israel into a quid pro quo situation by leveraging U.S. dollars against the Israeli government's actions in Gaza. And he's drawing parallels to the Democrats' first impeachment of Donald Trump. Remember that phone call made to Ukraine? Mm. So here's what Mills said. The House has no choice but to impeach quid pro quo Joe Biden. As vice president, Biden was caught threatening to withhold funding and aid to Ukraine unless they fired the attorney general investigating Burisma, a company financially benefiting his son Hunter, not to mention the 10% share for the big guy himself. Now Biden is pressuring Israel, our biggest ally in the Middle East, by pausing their funding that has already been approved by the House. If they don't stop all the operations with Hamas, this is a very clear message. This for that.
Does Biden seem to forget that Hamas is holding hostages?
I know.
How many hostages is Israel holding?
None. That I know of.
And everybody seems to... I understand Omar, one of the squad members, came out and encouraged the rioters, and I'm going to call them rioters, I'm sorry, to keep it up because it's working.
Yeah.
On the news that they were not going to give... You know, to me, their banners say no more arms for Israel. Well, and what he did yesterday has met their demands. Now they should go home, no?
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand it. I just don't understand what Biden is thinking. If he thinks he's getting votes, he's not. He's not getting the votes. All he's doing is alienating everybody. Now they're calling him Genocide Joe. That's from the far left, Genocide Joe.
What scares me is when Israel makes a statement that we'll go at it alone if we have to. You just severed all your ties with your best ally over there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, when Trump is in office within the first month, he needs to visit Israel and make things right again.
Yeah, he needs to get together with Netanyahu. I agree with you. Real quickly, Biden also is stumbling all over this interview he had at CNN. He claimed that he inherited a 9% inflation rate. Did you hear him say that when he came into office? Is he that stupid, or is he just figuring he can lie his way through it? The CNN correspondent asked him about low consumer confidence, including housing costs going up, real income adjusted for inflation going down, weak economic growth. Biden responded, "No president has had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came to office. 9%! It was 1.4% when he came to office, the old fool." He's either completely lost it, or he's just lying through his teeth and figuring that if he says it enough times, somebody's going to believe him.
We have all had that old grandpa that sat there after dinner and made up stories like you would not believe. And you'd look at grandma and she'd shake her head.
Yes.
You know, that's what we're doing right now. We're shaking our heads.
I think
you're
right about that. One more real quickie before we take our break. Biden welcomed back-to-back reigning WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces to the White House. Did you hear about this one? And he mislabeled one of its former players as the team's coach during the speech. Recently retired Candace Parker. She had played in 18 games during this particular season, picked up her third championship ring, did not attend the White House ceremonies. Good for her, because she would have fainted. Biden made sure to single her out, though. He called her one of the greatest all-time coaches in WNBA history.
You know, we're
she's never coached.
We're at a point where I think, you know, the Hall of Presidents, the Disney thing?
Yeah.
They should just swap out the animatronic guy for Biden.
Yeah, he'd be a little more lively.
At least they can program that guy.
Yeah, they are.
And he'll stick to the script.
He'd be a little more lively.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Colin Ritter of EdChoice, and we're going to talk with him about a new survey overwhelmingly showing pessimism about the profession of teaching.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Friday. And delighted to have back Colin Ritter. We had him on earlier this month. He's a senior research associate at EdChoice. And the last time we had Colin on, we were talking to him about a student survey, trying to get a handle on how students feel about the educational situation and their environment. But now we're going to talk about a new K-12 teacher survey. And it does not seem to bode well, Colin. Overwhelmingly, the poll shows that the teachers are very pessimistic about the teaching profession and experiencing a morale crisis. What seems to be going on?
Yeah, thanks again for having me, Paul.
Of course, our pleasure.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And we talked last week about what the students are feeling, and now we're talking about the teachers, and it's kind of around the same theme, right? Let's start from the top. Less than one in five teachers feel K-12 education is heading in the right direction nationwide. It gets a little bit better as you get closer, you know, state and then local, but it's still at the lowest levels we've seen in our 4 years of tracking it. And then there's the morale question, you know, how do they feel about the profession in general? And teachers are not wanting to recommend the profession to their friends or family. Less than one in five teachers would recommend it.
Wow.
You know, that's private district, doesn't matter what kind of teacher.
You know, if you have that attitude going into the classroom, I would think it would affect the quality of the education that you're giving out to the kids. I mean, aren't they going to pick up on it? Kids are very intuitive, you know. I mean, do these teachers just come in and, you know, I mean, do they just give it the old college try? What do you think, what is the cause of this overwhelming sense of pessimism? Is it the way the kids are not maybe, you know, giving them the respect that they are due? Is it because they feel that the unions or the school system itself is not backing them? Is it a combination of ingredients? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Paul. I hate to kind of skirt around it and not give a direct answer, but I mean, I do feel it's a combo of a bunch of things. We have a couple questions looking at student misbehaviors. Teachers feel that has gone up. Student absences have gone up. And then there's also, this isn't in our survey, but there are plenty of stories and researchers looking at teacher morale going back to COVID. And, you know, they had to pick up a ton of slack and kind of adjust on the fly in teaching during a pandemic.
Yes, that's true.
You know, it's not an enviable position. And then when they come out of the pandemic, you know, they don't feel as though their voices and their influence in the school in general is being heard by administrators, you know, principals, school leaders. So I do feel that there's a little bit of sense of, that they feel undervalued. And then there's, you know, we could talk about teacher salaries and things. We can go a bunch of different ways. Yeah. But I do think it's a combo.
Here's some findings that I know you've put out, if you'll allow me to do it. First of all,
of course.
Generally, teachers report the highest satisfaction when it comes to relating with the family members, which must be a good thing. In other words, they are interacting with the kids' parents, apparently. Mm-hmm. 2/3 of the teachers feel a sense of purpose and hopeful when thinking about the future. That's good. But you go on to say that the optimism for a kindergarten through a grade 12 education, which means through high school, lowest point in 4 years. Now, that's what makes me think that the pandemic must have had a great deal to do with it when the kids were sent home and were trying to supposedly study, you know, at home over the over the computer, and that didn't work out very well. And perhaps is that where we, to a large extent, sort of lost that connection with the kids?
It could be. And I think you make a good point that you know, they still have a sense of purpose. And I think it's a fair thing to say that, you know, people don't go into the teaching profession, you know, kind of feeling half-hearted about it. You know, they're very passionate. They think teaching is fulfilling. They want to help kids grow and succeed and reach their potential. So there, and it is kind of weird to see that pessimism. I do agree with you that it has to be, some feelings from the pandemic and the fact that things haven't really changed. You know, we've tried to go back, K-12 education in general has tried to go back to the way it was before the pandemic. But I actually think that teachers and parents of students obviously feel this way, but teachers also feel that, you know, the pandemic kind of opened people's eyes to what doesn't work and what currently isn't working, and kids have changed since then, parents have changed since then, and the teaching job has relatively stayed the same, and there are some things that teachers want to see that, you know, they haven't gotten to see, and the burnout and the lack of, you know, the lack of optimism is kind of a result of that.
Sure. We're talking with Colin Ritter. He is a senior research associate at EdChoice that is very much involved in following the quality of education of our kids. It is so important. Some other things that have come out of this survey, this I find kind of interesting. Almost half of the teachers, 49% of the teachers, have decided on their own to limit discussion on things involving politics and social issues. You know, I'm trying to think when I was a kid, and that was a long, long time ago, going through school. It didn't seem to me that we had a lot, I mean, a political science course we would, but it didn't seem to me that we talked much politics back then.
Yep.
And then, maybe I'm wrong, has politics and things involving, social issues, has that become a larger issue that's kind of hanging over the educational system these days than it was, say, maybe some time back? Do you have a thought on that at all?
Yeah, no, and I think you're right. When I was in school, there were very little talk of politics, and granted, I could have just been ignorant to it all, being a teenager and stuff. But, there's the kind of polarization of the country in general. It's absolutely seeping into schools. I also do think it has to do with cell phone use, social media. You know, kids are kids have cell phones in school way more frequently than, when we were in school. And social media is absolutely been, subject to a lot of polarization and the culture war aspect of things, which, you know, that's not breaking news by any means. But, you know, as kids are on their phones in school, on social media and things like that, I think it was just inevitable that eventually this stuff would kind of seep into schools. And I think teachers have realized that, and they're probably, you know, the 49% that say they have decided on their own to limit discussions about political and social issues are probably on the right side of things, just because it feels like it's an unwinnable game. Mm-hmm. It feels like a slippery slope, and it also takes away from the teaching, depending on, you know, the class. If it's a poli-sci course, of course, you know, you're going to talk about that, but you don't want to talk about that in a fifth grade math class, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did your survey make note of the responses from public school teachers as opposed to private school teachers?
When it comes to that question?
Overall, I mean, you didn't break down, or did you break down morale as an example, et cetera, and feelings about the teaching profession between what the public school teachers thought and what the private school teachers thought? Did you make note of that at all in this survey?
Yeah, so we do split out, and I'd encourage anyone interested. We don't just have the report on our website. We also have the cross tabs, which is, you know, the individual data for whoever's interested. There is a little bit of a, we've seen for a while that private school teachers are, you know, you can typically count on them to be a little bit more optimistic. Though that said, in terms of promoting the profession, you know, whether or not they want their friends or family to become a teacher is relatively grim, no matter how you...
Whether it's private or public, it's still...
Yeah.
There seems to be an overall feeling of... Yeah.
Yeah, I will say there is a massive gap when it comes to student misbehaviors. Let me pull this up. I apologize. Yeah, so...
No, I know. I was thinking about that myself. The whole discipline situation, the whole attitudes of the kids today...
Yep.
It would seem to me they feel like they're more entitled and maybe less respectful of their teachers, maybe?
I do feel there is a little bit of that. You know, I mean, like, just student misbehaviors, no matter what it is, whether it's student on student misbehavior or whether it's, student being disrespectful to a teacher, we don't ask specifically, but I do feel that there is probably a distinction to be made there. And, 50% of teacher district school, public school teachers say that misbehaviors are up, whereas only a quarter of private school teachers say it's up. So there is a little bit of a difference there, whether the disciplinary practices, what kind of leash teachers have in terms of being able to discipline their kids in class. I do think there is it's worth looking into what's happening in private schools versus public, because private school teachers do seem to feel that this is happening less, and that probably has to come down to the individual school, and I'm sure that plays a part in morale as well. I mean, if you can't get a hold of your classroom, you're not going to feel like you walked away, like you helped kids that day, and that's the bread and butter of the teacher. That's what you go to teach for. So,
I would hope that this survey gets into the hands of people that can make a difference. And what I mean by that is school districts, and the people, you know, superintendents of schools, so that they are aware of this feeling, and they're the ones, I would guess, most in position to do something about it. If there is something to be done, I guess it's an overall. It would have to be an overall operation, but. This is an eye-opening survey.
Yeah, no, and that was our hope with the survey, is to hopefully kind of get a pulse of what the teacher's saying. And what you just said is really the most important point. It's like, we can't hope that, you know, teachers are going to turn it around. There are things that teachers are showing that, like, I mean, they just need help. They need more, they just need support, whether it's from school leaders, administrators, and they don't have the time to go and lobby and, you know, talk to people who are in a position to make a difference here, because they have the utmost important job, which is teaching our students. And there are kids learning, and there are kids feeling fulfilled in school, and there are teachers doing a great job. But we can't expect them to like pause that. I mean, that was the whole point with school closures during COVID. Like that, we're still recovering from that. So teachers have to stay the course, and they have to keep making their voices heard, like this survey, and hope that people listen. And there are some silver linings in here. Teachers are giving us ideas of what we can do to help, and a lot of it is kind of what we work with, and you know, trying to change the the residentially assigned district for kids in their school. But we just want to give teachers more options too, and we believe school choice and promoting that and allowing different types of school to flourish, micro schools, hybrid home schools, think that teachers are interested in participating in and helping, and you know, becoming a teacher in a learning pod, for example, is something very popular with teachers. But we have to get them there. We have to make the landscape more accessible, and that's our job. And we've made good strides in the last couple of years. But yet, like you said, hopefully this is eye-opening to people who are in position.
Absolutely. Sure. I mean, I think the good thing is that there is more school choice. And a lot of the kids that might be stuck in a bad performing public school now have that option in many places to go to a school of their choice. Parents have a voucher to get there. I think that can only be a positive. In the meantime, Colin, thank you so very much. Keep up your good work. Keep up the good fight. It's so important that we somehow get a handle on the educational system, make it the great thing that it can become again.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and thank you again for having us, Paul. And we'd love to answer any questions, or if people out there have ideas of what questions to ask teachers, we're always looking for new questions to ask that are good and trying.
I'll direct people to get to perhaps to your website, EdChoice, EdChoice, EdChoice. Thanks so much, Colin.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Yes, you too. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, a powerful and a rare geometric storm may be occurring today in outer space. It may wreak havoc on Earth. We're going to tell you all about it.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
Back, it's Friday. You know, we haven't had rain in so long, Ed. I can't even remember the last time anything fell. I hope everybody's down here, everybody's sprinkler systems are working.
Yeah,
right?
It's been going on for maybe, what, 2-3 weeks
yeah,
now?
Yeah, at least. I can't remember the last rain.
The other
rain
side of the coin is North Florida. I mean, you know, the northern part of Florida. Yeah,
they're getting
really
it.
Getting pounded. I just saw over 200,000 people without electricity in the Panhandle.
Really?
Yeah, because of the storms that are up there.
Well, we need some of that rain. We don't want the electrical.
I don't want that violent stuff. No, we don't. No, there's tornadoes and stuff.
No, we don't want that. But speaking of the weather, a rare and a powerful solar storm may occur in outer space today, which could wreak havoc on Earth, according to officials. This is the first in nearly 20 years if it happens. NOAA, you know, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they have issued what they call a severe G4 geomagnetic storm watch. The first such alert aired since 2005, when the Earth was hit with the highest dose of radiation in 50 years. Now, this time around, the event could disrupt electronic devices like GPS and parts of power grids. Now, this report I read in the British tabloid, the Daily Mail, so they're talking about how it affects Great Britain in particular, and saying it may drape a huge portion of the country in a spectacular circle of light, like, you know, an aurora up there. This follows a series of solar flares, which are large explosions from the sun, that began 2 days ago, during which several large expulsions of plasma from the sun were spotted, paving the way for this alert. So maybe be careful when you program your GPS today. It may take you to the wrong address.
Could this somehow be Trump's fault or global warming?
I would think it's probably Donald Trump's fault.
Yeah, you notice when he was in office, every time we had a storm, it was Trump's fault because he was ignoring the planet and all that. Now we got these storms all over the place and nobody's blaming Biden.
No, Trump hates the Earth. You know that. Hey, we got both of our Sorace brothers, both Angelo and Andrew. Hey, delightful to have you guys back today. So much going on. We could talk about the trial with Trump. Boy, he came out, Donald Trump, after yesterday's trial. He was really mad because they have denied a request for a mistrial and a modification of the gag order. And now that good old Stormy Daniels has finished her, whatever you want to call it, her gossip on the witness stand, why isn't Trump allowed to talk about Stormy Daniels? She's through. What do you think, Angelo? Do you have any thoughts on any of this?
Well, they've gagged him because they don't want him to say anything. They don't want his side of the story. The whole gag is denying him his First Amendment right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Stormy Daniels. I heard Bill O'Reilly the other day on the radio.
Is he still around, Bill O'Reilly?
Well, he was on Sean Hannity the other day, you know. And he was saying, how come the lawyers are not asking Stormy Daniels, why did you want the money? Why do you want $130,000? You know, I mean, you're the one that says you had this affair with him. Now you hate him. How come all of a sudden you hate the guy, but yet you want money to keep quiet about it? Yeah. Why are you extorting?
Isn't
there a law against extortion and stuff like that?
In the meantime, she owes attorney's fees to Trump when she tried to sue him for libel and she lost.
Right. So, you know, all of a sudden now you got a hostile witness on a stand. I thought they were not supposed to have hostile witnesses. Right, I mean, what's this court doing? What a kangaroo court this has ever been.
It's kind of reminding me of what happened in Georgia with Fannie.
Fannie Wallace.
I mean, when they put her on the stand and she imploded. So I think, you know, Stormy got, from what I read and saw, she got a little cocky, not to use that term maybe, but he got a little upset and frustrated. She mouthed off a bit.
She was Miss Nice when the prosecution was asking her questions. As soon as the defense started, she turned 180 degrees. She became kind of bitchy.
About how she tried to describe a pose or a position that the president was in. and put her leg up on the thing. And what the heck does that have to do with the payment? Speaking, we're getting away from the payment.
Exactly.
Right. They're not even talking about what the thing is. They're bringing Stormy Daniels in? Why, they're trying to show that, you know, like Whoopi Goldberg the other day on the View, that you wouldn't be in jail, you wouldn't be in court if this didn't happen, blah, if you didn't do this and that, right? What happened to the presumption of innocence in our law? You know, in our laws.
Yeah, we're taking the word of a stripper over a president.
Well, here's what Trump attorney
An extortionist, no less. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trump attorney Todd Blanche said the prosecution asked Daniels a whole host of questions that never should have been asked, pointing to questions about the porn actress's childhood, her interaction with Trump, nothing to do with the actual reason that they were there in court. And he called it so dangerous, so prejudicial, borders on a problem from the beginning. So, Andrew, what do you think, buddy? You have any thoughts about it?
Well, first of all, you got to realize how much she hates Trump. She owes him $580,000. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
She owes him $580,000. Now, again, I've got to go back to Bill Clinton, because Stormy Daniels alleges that Trump had an affair with her. Now, first of all, why would Donald Trump have an affair with her when he had Melania as a wife? Put the two of them together. I do not understand why every one of these women that accuse a man that's prosperous in life, 99% of them are ugly. This one wasn't ugly, but let's face the facts. She's nothing but a hooker. She's a tramp.
Well,
so why are these women... And this position is always go after prominent men like this. I mean, let's face the facts. Look at the one that won the case against Donald Trump that said he groped her in the dressing room. He's ugly. Why is that? Why are all these ugly women accusing? Yes.
Listen to this. I just got one thing I want to say.
We want to remind everybody of the real liar.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Miss Lewinsky, I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never.
Liar!
These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work.
You've got to go back to work.
Thank you. Indeed, I did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part, for which I am solely and completely responsible.
Well, nobody else.
I want you to listen
her.
To me. I'm going to say this.
you know what's hysterical?
Thank you, Ed.
Was that before or after they took the dress out of the freezer? Okay. Now, Stormy Daniels does not have one bit of evidence that Trump had an affair with her. They had all the evidence in the world that Bill Clinton had an affair. They took the dress out of the freezer. Like you said the other day, there's no panties, there's no boxer shorts, there's no nothing here.
Well, they're taking her testimonies that she was very specific about what happened. Whoa! How many films? How many films?
She could
be
star.
She could be talking about one of her films. That's for crying out loud.
That's right. Well, one of the 500. One of the 500. And what about the 5,000 guys she admits to sleeping with? Why would Trump deal with a diseased woman like that?
We're getting away from the real trial here. It's not about whether they did the deed or not. It's about the payment. And it was perfectly happened last night on one of the shows here where they were taking a poll. Do you believe Trump or do you believe her? That's not what this is about. It's not about whether they had sex or not. This is about the payment.
Right. The thing is, if you're a Democrat, you can have all the, you know, affairs you want. John F. Kennedy, remember? Happy birthday, Mr. President, right? Marilyn Monroe?
Yep.
Huh? They all had a key to the back door of the White House back then.
What was that scumbag? Was it North Carolina, South Carolina? Edwards?
John Edwards.
Cheat on his wife that had cancer?
Yeah, while she was dying.
But if you're a Democrat... You could get away with anything. Am I right or wrong? Double standard.
Well, there is a double standard. Look, everybody knows that Donald Trump, the only reason he's in any of these court cases is because he's running for president again. And all of these Democrats that are bringing these cases against him don't want him to become president.
Well, the thing
so
is,
now we all know that, and they wouldn't be going after him if it wasn't for that.
Right. And the thing is, they're trying to get a felony count on him so he can't run for office, so to speak, right? You can't. And Bill, and President Biden can say, look, he's a felon, this and that, because Biden has nothing to go on. What's he done for this country? Nothing.
Yeah, but you forget about his son. His son's done a lot. By the way, the United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit refused to throw out Hunter Biden's indictment on federal gun charges yesterday, paving the way for his Delaware trial next month. Hunter's lawyers filed a motion in court earlier this year arguing that a diversion agreement previously agreed to by the Justice Department and Biden's legal team should remain in effect. So the poor guy, poor Hunter, I feel bad for him. He's just, he's misunderstood. That's what I think.
Yeah, but you know, Paul, nothing's going to happen to him. Nothing's
but you know what, though, Paul?
Nothing. Nothing's happened to these people.
Paul, every one of these court cases are falling apart.
They are.
Even this one in New York. The girl that was testifying at the end of yesterday that worked for Trump as one of the advisor's assistants said he was one of the best people
that
ever worked for.
About him.
This is nothing but a phony trial, and she should have spit on the judge.
Yeah, I think ultimately none of these are going to succeed, but they're going to succeed in possibly keeping, you know, Trump not getting certain votes, because there are enough people that think. I mean, let's be honest. That's the intent. And even if he's right, and I think he's going to win on appeal on this one in particular, unless you know, a couple of those jurors just go, "This is crazy," and don't even allow it, and there's a mistrial. But you know what I mean. Go ahead.
What about Fulton County, Georgia? Did you read? Did you read the news yesterday that 380,000 ballots were double scanned, and they didn't keep the images that they're required to keep by law? Isn't that Fannie Willis's district, Fulton County, Georgia?
I think it is, but I didn't read about it.
That was news this morning.
Okay.
380,000 ballots, double scanned, and they didn't keep the images. That, Paul, that's never going to go to court either.
When you say double scanned, when you say double scan, do you mean that they were counted twice? Is that what you mean?
That's right. They were counted twice, buddy.
Okay, wow. That's
okay. 380,000. Paul, this is all going to fall apart. Uh-huh. Trump still has his base. The people that voted for him the last time will vote for him again, and he's going to pull more people because they know that this is nothing but a bunch of bull crap. And they got their Democrats. They think they're dancing in the street. Oh, we're going to get Trump. They're not going to get nothing. They're going to be crying just like they did the last time.
Well, the Democrats should be charged with treason for what they've been trying to do to this country.
Well, that's why they're trying to keep Trump out.
The thing, and not only that, they're interfering in an election, okay? And what they've done is doing what Nazi Germany did in the 1930s with their people, putting in the kangaroo courts. And the communists, the same thing. The Democratic Party should be banned in this country.
I can tell you this much.
Treason in this country. And the American people
military,
should wake up and see it.
If the military wasn't so woke that they made sure that it was, there should be a military coup against this government. Believe me.
But they
turned them into woke to make sure that that wouldn't happen.
I don't think it's the entire Democratic Party, but the upper echelon.
It's got to be the entire Democratic Party.
The Chuck Schumers, the Naders, Pelosi.
Look, the Democratic Party is not the Democratic Party of my parents' day.
I know, but they're the ones that are running it right now. Those are the ones that are running it.
The Democrats should go against these people, see what's happening. If they're loyal patriots to this country, they're allowing this to happen.
Well, we're going to find out in November, my friends, whether or not the American people have finally seen the light and have finally woken up. We're going to find out how intelligent our public really is, because unless Trump wins by an overwhelming amount, we got a very stupid electorate. That's what I would tell you.
Well, I can tell you this. If the Jewish people, after what Biden did, if Biden, like he shot off the arms going to Israel, if the Jewish people vote for this guy, they're going to show just how smart the Jewish people are.
I
tell you what.
I wish he would have worded it a little bit different other than calling him stupid. because that I have a flashback of Biden saying, if you didn't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
well, with this, we got the proof for what's going on. And Netanyahu still went and did what he had to do, didn't he?
Yes, he's gone ahead with it.
Yep.
We're going to see how that turns out. Guys, it's always a pleasure. I wish we had more time. We got to bring you on earlier one of these times and spend a half an hour. Thanks so much, guys.
You guys
have a good week.
All right, you guys do the same.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks for the haircut.
Right, there we go.
I got my haircut.
Did you get your haircut?
I found time, snuck away, and got my haircut.
Outstanding. And you got it at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 best states performance-wise in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. If you cannot listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. Bless him. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. The podcast button is at the top. Click on it. Ed's got all the shows, most recent show at the front. You'll see the guest. You'll see the topic with the guest. You'll see the top 10. All you need to know, OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, before we get to our top 10, why do the Tampa Bay Rays keep playing the White Sox all the time?
Well,
it seems like they're playing the White Sox about 7 or 8 times now.
Yeah, they're done. They took 2 or 3 from them at home here.
Okay.
Here come the Yankees this weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. My White Sox left town winning the final game, though, right?
Yes.
All right, well, I'll give them credit for at least one win.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're going to see the White Sox in the playoffs this year. Do you think there's a chance that the Rays may hold up? And
I don't know.
Too early to tell or what?
There's been a little bit of a shuffle in the lineup. Certain players are not producing. Guys are coming in and getting things done. So it could be a little lift that they need. So maybe this will happen. I'm hoping that they take two. I'm always hoping they take 2 or 3.
How are the Yankees doing?
I love to sweep the Yankees.
Yeah.
Well, they're up there. I mean,
the Yankees doing well this year so far?
They've been very lucky with injuries or lack thereof.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We'll keep an eye on it. Ed, these are the top 10 best states in America. Let me preface it. The U.S. News and World Report ranked the states. It drew on thousands of data points to measure how well states are performing for their citizens. In addition to health care and education, the rankings take into account a state's economy, its roads, its bridges, the internet and other infrastructure, its public safety, its natural environment, the fiscal stability of the government in the state and the opportunity it affords its residents. Okay, so lots of data points. So here we go. Top 10 best states in America. Number 10.
We'll try that.
Ed forgot his sticks. He had to go get his sticks. Number 10 is Massachusetts. By the way, they're number 2 overall in healthcare, number 3 in education, and they're number 4 in crime and corrections. So they do pretty well. Number 9, Florida. Mm. Yeah. Hey, guess what? They are number 1 in education, and they are number 1 in economy. Two of the most important ones. Good for Florida. Number 8, state of Washington. They are number 7 in infrastructure, and they are number 10 in healthcare. Number 7, Vermont. Vermont, they're number 1 in opportunity. Ah, really? Go up there and have a lot of opportunity. And they're number 3 in crime and corrections, which means they're number 3 in security, I guess you might say that way. All right, number 6 is Iowa. Good old Iowa, right in the middle of the country. Number 3 in opportunity, number 10 in infrastructure, number 11 in education. Okay, number 5, Idaho. They're number 1 in getting a potato, but they're number 2 in economy, number 9 in fiscal stability, and they're number 12 in crime and corrections. Number 4, Minnesota. Yeah, number 2 in natural environment, number 7 in fiscal stability overall, and number 9 in infrastructure. Number 3, we're hanging around in the Midwest, Ed. Number 3 is Nebraska. Nebraska is number 3 in fiscal stability, number 4 in infrastructure, and number 9 in natural environment. I'm just thinking about Nebraska, and what is natural environment, with all due respect, in Nebraska? I just think of wheat and flat as far as you can see kind of stuff. But anyway, all right, number 2, New Hampshire. Yeah, New Hampshire. Ever been to New Hampshire, Ed?
Nope.
Oh, I have. They're number 1 in crime and corrections. That means they're secure there. Number 7 in the economy, and number 9 in education. All right, I'm going to give you a hint, Ed. I'm going to give you a hint. It's a western state.
Well, I know it ain't California.
That is correct. It's not. We already mentioned Washington.
Washington, yeah.
You don't have to mention them.
Oregon?
You want to guess Oregon?
Yeah.
All right. The answer is no. Yeah. It's called the Beehive State. Do you know what the Beehive State is?
I do, but I'm...
That's all right. It's Utah.
Utah
is number 1.
Yeah.
Number 2, and here's the deal. They're number 2 in education overall. They're number 3 in the economy. They're number 3 in infrastructure. And they're number 6 in fiscal stability. So they got a lot of things going on in Utah. Sounds like it's a positive place to be these days. Are they getting any sports teams from another? I think they are. Aren't they?
Utah?
Arizona's losing a team and it's going to Utah. I can't remember what sport. I think it's basketball.
I don't know.
I don't remember either. Anyway, we thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan, the third.